This is a CBC podcast. CBC News is your source for breaking news from Canada and around the world. Get the latest in health, the arts, technology, and business at cbcnews.ca.
Hello and welcome to part three of the current podcast. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti. It has been more than 30 years since Canada first started its nuclear program, and in that time, we have managed to accumulate about 2 million used uranium fuel bundles. That's enough highly toxic radioactive waste to fill six NHL hockey rinks right to the top of the boards. And now the Nuclear Waste Management Organization is looking for a permanent home for all of it.
Canada's plan for the long-term management of used nuclear fuel has as its endpoint a deep geological repository hosted by an informed and willing community. The centralized facility will require a land area of approximately 2 kilometers by 3 kilometers. After they arrive at the central facility, used fuel bundles will be placed in copper and steel containers that are designed to last at least 100,000 years. And manufactured to protect against corrosion and to withstand the pressure of glaciers with an ice sheet over 2 kilometers thick.
Well, that is part of an information video from the Nuclear Waste Management Organization, the NWMO. So far, one community has expressed a preliminary interest in providing a home for the nuclear waste. If you follow the Trans-Canada Highway north and west from Thunder Bay, Ontario, you will run right through a former forestry town called Ignace. It is home to about 1,200 people, as well as some truly spectacular scenery. And Diane Loubier is a town councillor in Ignace. Good morning.
Morning.
Why would your community consider bringing nuclear waste to your region?
The reason that we're considering it is because we believe that we have the appropriate suitable rock formation that would be able to contain the nuclear waste in a centralized containment and isolation for the used nuclear waste.
Well, first of all, the rock formation, because you're on the Canadian Shield, right?
Yes, we are.
And so that's sort of the perfect setting, that kind of bedrock that you can dig into and store?
Yes, it is, because it's a massive felsic plutonic rock formation that we have here. And it's not septic to seismic ruptures, and it's like a solid rock formation, and that's what's required to develop a repository for the Nuclear Waste Management Organization. So we think that we have the suitable rock formation.
Mm. Now, are there economic benefits that would come out of this, in your view?
Oh, certainly. This project, I would assume it's over a 50-year time frame, is $16 to $24 billion, which would involve the development of a deep geological repository for the long-term management of the used nuclear waste. And in addition to that, they would be creating a center of expertise or excellence, which would include also an underground demonstration facility and a surface facility such as laboratories, office, public viewing galleries, and exhibits. So, you know, it would actually create a long-term sustainability, economic sustainability for this community, for future generations, for decades to come.
Okay, so let me ask about that. So first of all, there would be construction jobs. Do you have an idea of how long construction of something like that would take?
It would take anywhere from 5 to 7 years, and the construction activities would employ about 600 to 800 workers at the site, and would involve several hundred million dollars per year of expenditures throughout the region, not just the community, the host community. It would involve spending money throughout the entire region.
And now, what about the longer-term jobs? Would there be jobs for scientists and others, sort of very specific professional jobs that would then be brought to Ignace as well?
Yes, actually, the Center of Expertise or Excellence, whatever you would like to call it, would be employing approximately 200 professional positions. So it would add to the economic base of this community by sustaining, you know, 200 professional jobs, which will add to the future generations of, you know, individuals here in trying to keep people into our community.
What's the main economic engine of your community now?
Actually, right now, we don't really have an economic engine. It was forestry, which is basically gone from the community.
And are you seeing people leave then?
Yes, we are.
So this would be an attempt to try to save your community and grow it then?
Yes, actually, it is. It's, you know, it's going to help our community provide growth, prosperity, and economic stability, you know, with the direct employment of hundreds of people for decades.
You know, even mentioning nuclear waste makes a lot of people nervous. What kind of reaction are you getting in Ignace about this?
Actually, the majority of the individuals is very positive reaction because they know that the council's utmost priority is to ensure the outcome would be safe and secure for both the current and future generations for our people and the environment. We've had a couple of negative comment in the past little while, but the majority of people are saying go for it and, you know, investigate, because it's only a preliminary investigation. At any point in time, we can decide not to proceed with this.
So you're not committed at this point?
Not at all. Like, the site selection process has not even begun. It'll be in the spring of 2010. And, you know, so we would have to express another expression of interest to proceed further with this.
At the same time, you're the only ones who have expressed an interest so far, right?
Yes, we are. We will continue this because council has passed a resolution indicating that we would like to proceed with the investigation to see whether it would, you know, benefit the community or even fit into our long-term plans as a community, because that's going to be our next step, is applying for funding through the Nuclear Waste Management Organization to do community well-being exercise.
Well, let's talk about Learn More and community well-being. What ideas have you been exposed to that warm you to the idea of putting nuclear waste there?
Well, just the visit ourselves. We went down there and we spent 2 days with the senior level managers from the Nuclear Waste Management Organization. And, you know, we learned a lot about the different options to accommodate and facilitate the storage of the used waste. And we even visited a nuclear waste site where they're storing the current nuclear waste that's the used nuclear waste. So far at this point, we don't have any red flags that have come up, and we would just like to continue this process to see if it's going to fit into a long-term plan of ours.
Now, given that you are elected and it would be a big responsibility to decide to do this, the Nuclear Waste Management Organization arguably has a vested interest in having you believe that this is a good thing. Are you calling for those who might disagree to make their points to you, too, so that you can weigh this?
Yes, actually, part of the next step, would be that, that we would look at a spectrum of sources, which includes both opponents and proponents of the Deep Geological Repository, so you get a variety of different views.
Now, you mentioned that you went on a tour of a nuclear plant with others from Ignace. Tell us more about what that tour was like.
Well, we went to the Kincardine Nuclear Waste Operation, and there was 10 of us that attended that, and we viewed where they stored low and medium and high nuclear waste, and the high one is what they're looking for to store in the Deep Geological Repository.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went in there, we were shown the kind of containment that they're currently using and the proposed containment that they would proceed with if they went through a Deep Geological Repository. We found it very informative, you know, and all of us had our pictures taken in front of the current containment, I don't know what you would call them, storage containers that they're using currently. We found it very informative and obviously wanted to learn more about this. And, you know, if there's anywhere along the line that I feel that this is not a safe and secure project, I definitely will be the first one to start screaming, because I would never propose anything for the community that would harm our residents of the community.
Okay. Ms. Loubier, thank you for speaking to me about this today.
Yes, thank you very much, and I appreciate the opportunity to be discussing this project with you, and that's it, and I'd like to say goodbye for now.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
That is Diane Loubier. She's a town councillor in Ignace, Ontario. Well, not everyone in Ignace is on board with the project. We asked Dennis Smyke to give us a sense of the town's mood. He is the publisher of the local newspaper, the Ignace Driftwood.
I think the town is split over it, so I'm not sure if it's 60-40, 50-50 or whatever, but there are people who are in favor because it's an economic boost to our economy, of course, obviously. But there are others who are afraid of the unknown. Nuclear waste is an unknown factor. There's no guarantee. Oh, well, you can keep it sealed in the ground, and it's just people are afraid. Nuclear waste is just a scary thing to a lot of people. I feel much like others. I would like to see something happen in my community to make it more stable economically, but I want to be assured, convinced, that the methods of storage are safe, and somehow in the back of my little voice keeps telling me, I don't know. It's hard to convince people that something can be kept secure for the hundreds and thousands of years that, or whatever the time frame is for these things.
Well, that is Dennis Smyke, the publisher of the Ignace Driftwood. Gordon Edwards has problems with burying nuclear waste, and not just in Ignace. He is the president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. He is in Montreal. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you make of what we heard from Diane Lubier?
Well, I think that it's very understandable that a town like Ignace would want to have economic development, and many towns do. It's a shame, however, that the only kind of the most promising thing on the horizon is to accept a nuclear waste dump, because that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about taking waste from the southern parts of the province, where the nuclear reactors are located and where the actual activity begins, and moving that waste way up to what I would call it the edge of the world as far as Ontario is concerned.
Well, are we talking about only moving it in Ontario? Would Pointe La Prairie nuclear waste
well, that's
go there
true.
As well?
That's true. This would apply to all nuclear waste from all Canadian reactors.
Just to clarify, where are the Canadian reactors?
Well, most of them are in Canada. Most of them are in Ontario, rather. It's really an Ontario-based industry. There's only two outside of Ontario. One is in New Brunswick. That's Pointe La Prairie. It's shut down at the moment. It's being refurbished at a cost of about $1.5 billion.
And the other?
The other one is in Quebec.
Where?
Jonty 2, right opposite from Trois-Rivières.
Okay. And so do you have a problem with it moving in Ontario? Would it also move from these others?
Yes, it would.
The plan.
That's
okay.
Right. And so what we would see in the future, if these plants continue to operate and continue to produce nuclear waste, what we would see is increased traffic. Right now, these wastes are not moving. They're staying still. But to move these wastes requires at least a 70-ton shipping flask. So we're talking about very heavy loads. Because these wastes are extraordinarily radioactive and millions of times more radioactive than fresh nuclear fuel, many people don't understand that the irradiated fuel is much more complicated and much more dangerous than the fresh nuclear fuel. And that's why it has to be handled so carefully and only by robotic equipment.
What are you saying, that the longer it is waste, the more radioactive it becomes?
It becomes millions of times more radioactive inside the reactor because the uranium atoms are split. And when they're split, they produce hundreds of new substances, some of which are gases, some of which are vapors. These hundreds of materials are so radioactive that it would, just standing next to one for 20 seconds would give you a lethal dose of radiation. That's not true of the fresh fuel.
Oh, fresh fuel is the stuff they're putting in then?
Fresh fuel is the stuff that they put into the reactor,
okay.
And it can be handled safely. The irradiated fuel that comes out will never be handled by human hands again.
Well, all the more reason, I guess, if we have 40,000 tons of it in temporary holding sites and more accumulating, what should be done with it?
Well, the problem is that what I'm concerned about is the fact that there's a good deal of deception involved in this process, and I believe the wrong people are in charge.
Well, before we go there, what should be done with it?
Well, I think that what should be done with it, everybody agrees, including the Nuclear Waste Management Organization, is to leave it where it is for at least 30 years. That's what they're saying. So we're not really alleviating the problem where the reactors are located, because these wastes have to be cooled underwater, under circulating water, for the first 10 years. And then they have to be moved into dry storage, where they have to be cooled for another couple of decades before they can really be conveniently moved.
But should it be buried eventually, in your view?
I think that we have to be very careful about being presumptuous here, because these wastes remain dangerous for hundreds of thousands of years, and we've never successfully disposed of anything. So it would be nice if you could point to an example, if you could say, we're going to bury this waste in such a safe way that it's going to be the same as, and give me an example of anything we've disposed of safely.
So what do we do with it?
What
does your organization think we should do with it? If we shouldn't bury it and we shouldn't, what should we do with it?
I believe there's a political question which is being dodged here, and that is, why should we continue to produce it? if we really don't know what to do with it. And the fact of the matter is they really don't know what to do with it.
Okay, now you raised another point here, and you have some concerns about the setting up of the whole system.
Yes.
What is that concern?
Well, we had a 10-year environmental assessment process here in Canada called the Seabourn Panel, and there was a unanimous recommendation from the Seabourn Panel that there should be a nuclear waste agency created, which should be at arm's length from the nuclear industry. Instead, the Government of Canada has created an agency which is totally owned by the nuclear industry. These are the guys who are producing the waste. They have an obvious conflict of interest. It's sort of like asking the tobacco companies to decide on what is a permissible level of secondhand smoke. If they're going to see nuclear waste as a public relations obstacle to selling more reactors, then they have a conflict of interest because they're going to want to make it look better than it perhaps really is.
So you're saying the actual organization that is supposed to get rid of the waste, the Nuclear Waste Management Organization, is in a conflict of interest?
Absolutely.
And
completely.
It's because it's supposed to be arm's length from these, what, that would be NB Power, Quebec Hydro, Ontario Power Generation?
Well, that's right. You see, these agencies, the nuclear divisions of them at least, regard the nuclear waste problem as a public relations problem. It really is a fly in the ointment, if you might say. If they want to sell more reactors or build more reactors, people complain about the nuclear waste. So they want to make it appear as if the problem has gone away.
So are you suggesting that maybe it needs to be punted back to the political leaders?
Absolutely. What we're seeing here is we're treating this as if it's just a technical problem, when in fact it's a profound political problem and it should be debated at the political level.
Now, we heard that little bit of that clip that talked about the organization, what they're looking for. They talk about an informed and willing community.
Right.
If there is a community, can you understand why a place like Ignace, Ontario might want something for an economic boost?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, years ago, there was a federal agency called the Siting Task Force, which was looking for a home for the radioactive waste from Port Hope, Ontario. There's some 800,000 tons of radioactive waste, low-level radioactive waste, in Port Hope. And they went to many different communities across Ontario looking for a willing host community. The difference was, however, that the Siting Task Force made funds available to the community to be able to bring in experts of their own choice so that they could educate themselves from all levels as to what was the nature of the problem and whether this was a good idea or not for their community. What we see in the case of the Nuclear Waste Management Organization is a very tightly controlled organization that makes little or no room for any alternative points of view. When they've hosted discussion groups across Canada, which are generally by invitation only, and people who attend these discussion groups are not allowed to make their own presentations, alternative presentations. I even asked when they had one of these planned for September of 2009 here in Montreal, I said, could I have 5 minutes to just show a 5-minute PowerPoint? And they said, absolutely not. So what's happening here is that people are getting a selling job and they're not being told the whole truth. For example, they're not being told that, in fact, people in the nuclear industry don't want to bury this waste. What they really want to do is they want to get the plutonium out of the waste before they bury it. And that's a much more dangerous operation, which they would prefer that the community not be too worried about, and therefore they don't talk much about it.
Okay, Gordon Edwards, thank you for your perspective on this.
You're welcome.
That is Gordon Edwards, the president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. Well, according to the Nuclear Waste Management Organization, the risks of burying nuclear waste are entirely manageable. Michael Krizank is the spokesperson for the Nuclear Waste Management Organization. He's with me in our Toronto studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you make of the concerns our previous guest just raised? Let me take you through some of them. First of all, the nuclear industry doesn't necessarily want to bury the waste. Is that correct?
No. Canada's plan is to develop a deep geological repository in an informed and willing community to isolate and contain the used nuclear fuel.
You keep using that phrase, informed and willing community. Is that because you're looking for cooperation, or is that because you're trying to cover yourself on liability so later you can say you were informed and willing?
No. Informed and willing is a principle that was elicited during our study between 2002 and 2005, one of the largest national public consultations on a difficult public policy issue. More than 18,000 Canadians participated. And we talked to them about what values are important in decision-making about long-term used fuel management and what objectives need to be met. And informed and willing community is one of the principles that emerged out of that. We're committed to not imposing this on any community.
How safe is it to bury nuclear waste?
Well, this is the plan that has been adopted or followed by all of the leading countries in long-term used fuel management. It is accepted internationally.
So other countries are actually burying their waste? They've done that in bedrock already?
There is not a working deep geological repository for used nuclear fuel now.
However, anywhere in the world?
No.
What are they waiting for?
It is a matter that is now being dealt with. There have been political decisions to build repositories, such as the one at Yucca Mountain in the United States.
Which is now getting pushback, right?
That's correct.
In fact, I think it's actually been suspended.
That's absolutely correct. But the advanced countries on this this issue, like Sweden and Finland, are following a very similar process to ours. In Sweden, they have recently selected an informed and willing community from among two that were finalists in a competition to host the repository. In Finland, they have a construction license and they have begun developing a deep geological repository for used fuel.
Okay, well, and I want to get to the specifics of Canada for a minute, but I'm a little struck that all these decades into nuclear production, no one has actually found the burial solution that will work. Why is that? How come that wasn't dealt with when you first fired up the plants?
Because there was no particular urgency to immediately develop or to.
But we knew we'd have the waste, and we knew the waste was an issue when the first key turned, right?
And when the first key turned, the plan was that the used fuel would be held in pools for 7 to 10 years to reduce the radioactivity and the heat, and then to be put into interim storage. The interim storage facilities, there's no urgency to move them from there, the dry storage, and that's where the used fuel exists today. The next step is to develop a repository.
Okay. Now, Gordon Edwards has pointed out that your organization is not independent, that it's like tasking the tobacco industry with determining the effects of secondhand smoke. What do you say to the criticism that the very agencies that created you have a vested interest in you finding a place?
Well, the legislation is the Nuclear Fuel Waste Act, and when the federal government passed the Nuclear Fuel Waste Act, it required the nuclear waste producers to set up an independent, not-for-profit agency to consult Canadians broadly. So our management structure or our governance structure is based on the producer pays principle as talked about in the Nuclear Fuel Waste
and
Act.
And who does your organization answer to, the feds or to NB Power, Ontario Power Generation, and Quebec Hydro?
Okay. Our board of directors is appointed by the three companies that you just named. We report annually to Parliament through the Minister of Natural Resources Canada.
Wouldn't it be better if they didn't appoint your board of directors, though, to keep you more at arm's length? Wouldn't it be better if the federal government did that?
It's based on the producer pays principle. The producers of the used fuel are the owners of the organization, and so they appoint the board of directors.
What is it about IGNACE that interests your organization then?
There's nothing particular about any community. We are not citing now currently. IGNACE has come forward and said they would like to learn more. And we are working with IGNACE, providing them with information, and we expect that other communities will also come forward and that we will provide them with information. We also learn from these communities at this point the kinds of questions that communities might have and the information that they might need as we go through the process. So we're learning from this relationship as well.
Now, can any community qualify, or does their geological makeup really factor into this for you as well?
Any community can step forward and say that they want to learn more, but obviously safety and security are going to be drivers in this. Very early on, there will be assessments done of the rock formation that is being proposed, and a determination would be made as to whether or not we should go further into the process.
I was struck by something in that clip that talked about the ability to go for hundreds of thousands of years in rock that could also withstand glaciers. Have you started to look at the whole issue of climate change and global warming?
Absolutely.
The whole issue seems to be that we won't have glaciation for a long time, but we could have a different kind of change.
Absolutely. Climate change is one of the areas of study that we have, and we have reports available on our website regarding those matters.
And so at this point, I mean, how much wiggle room do you have? How much time do you have before you can actually, before you need to do what the plan is to start the burial?
There's absolutely no urgency to move the fuel from a technical perspective. Canadians have told us that we have a responsibility, this generation, to put in place a plan for its long-term management. The current arrangements are considered interim, but from a technical perspective, they could go on for quite some time.
And so, in other words, and in the meantime, it would just stay at each nuclear plant in a special storage area?
That's correct. That's where it is now, where it's safely managed, and it remains there. There's no urgency to move it immediately.
And what would you have to change the containers that it's in if you say you had to wait another decade before you found a place?
Yes. These containers are designed for 50 years, or they have a license period for 50 years. The engineers assure us that they could last much longer than that. It's a highly regulated activity, and they are inspected at all times. They're monitored by the IAEA 24/7, so there's no urgency to move the fuel immediately.
Is there any indication that other countries might want to use the space that Canada has should Canada find a place? I'm again thinking of the United States, because their latest burial site is now in suspension.
Right. Canada's plan is for Canada's used nuclear fuel. We have a no import, no export policy in Canada. Canadians were very clear on that when we did the study, that there should be no import and no export, and most nuclear countries follow the same policy.
So how do you go about reassuring the people of Ignace who are concerned now?
Well, the people of Ignace and any other community will be engaged in decision making as we move forward through the steps of this process.
Okay, Michael Krizank, thank you for coming in. That is Michael Krizank. He is a spokesperson for the Nuclear Waste Management Organization. He was in our Toronto studio. Well, that brings us to the end of this podcast. You can listen to The Current weekday mornings on CBC Radio 1 right after the 8:30 news, 9 o'clock in Newfoundland and parts of Labrador, as well as on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. If you have any thoughts on what you're hearing on The Current, send us your comments. Visit our website at cbc.ca/thecurrent and click on the Contact Us link. Or you can call our feedback line toll-free, 1-877-287-7366. You can also find us on Twitter at TheCurrentCBC. And as always, our mailing address is Post Office Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. Thanks for listening to The Current Podcast. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.